Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're here this morning. Would you please stand and sing with us?
Why don't you have a seat? And as you do, the Majerus family is going to be coming up and taking spots on the platform here. We talked last week about family dedications, that we get this privilege of coming before our church family to dedicate our children as well as ourselves to Jesus, dedicating our children to Him and dedicating ourselves to parenting them in a way that they will come to know and trust Jesus. And today, the Majeruses are coming on up here, and we're going to have some fun together. So, many, many, many moons ago, Harry was born. Mom and Dad had wanted a baby for a while, and this little guy came, and believe it or not, we got the chance to do his dedication when he was tiny. He was never tiny, but anyway, we got to do his dedication, and then Mom and Dad had a longing and a desire for more kids, and they wanted and hoped and prayed for more kids, and what comes into their life but a Sophie, and a Sergio, and an Izzy, and wow, that was a good time, and these guys became Majeruses, what, a summer ago?
Two summers ago,
yeah, and Mom and Dad were like, you know what, we really, really, really love kids. We have big hearts. And then another gang came along, this crew here. Oh, my word, you guys, this is so fun. So I got to get this right. Here we have Chase. How you doing, Chase? Doing all right? I love your blanket. It's fantastic. CJ Cooper. This is Cooper. And then we have Ellie. And finally, Georgie. And not too long ago, you guys became Majeruses too. It's fantastic. And what I love about all this is God loves to laugh. And somewhere along the line, he said, we're going to create a bookend to this family. And then came Josie. All right. So today, we get the chance to dedicate you. And I've got kind of a logistical nightmare going here, okay? I'm down, around, about. I want to read a passage to you that I think is really for, it's for everybody, but it's especially It's especially for the four of you, okay? The Bible says in Psalm 139, Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You've examined my innermost being with your loving gaze. You perceive every moment of my heart and soul and understand my every thought before it enters my mind. Do you know that before you think something, God knows already what you're going to think? Isn't that crazy? That's how great God is, right? He says, you are intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book and know all the words I'm about to speak. Before I even start a sentence, you know every step I will take before my journey begins. There's nothing about your life that has been a surprise to God. He's known every step of it, and he's been with you every step of your journey. He said, you've gone into my future to prepare a way, and in kindness you followed behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a father's blessing to me. Isn't that beautiful? That even before you were here, God was preparing your future for this very moment, and God was preparing your future for that to be your mom and dad, and that to be your sister, and that to be your brother, and that to be your sister, and that to be your brother, and that to be your sister. Isn't that crazy? God knew it. No surprises to him. None at all. You come to the other, later down in the passage, it says that God formed us. He knew us. He brought our night to light. He says, I thank you for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it, how thoroughly you know me, Lord. All of this passage lets us know that there are no surprises to God. And there might be some times in your life that you're thinking about the way your life went, and you're going to wonder, did God know? Did God care? He absolutely did. He knew and cared every step of the way. He made you. He loves you. He'll always love you. He'll never forget you. So I'm going to pray with each of you one at a time. And for you, Chase, for you, there's this song that I love. And it says that the person wants to chase God's heart just like David did in the Bible. I suspect you like to run. Do you like to run around? Yeah, yeah you do, don't you? God wants you to run hard for him. He wants you to always look for where God is and go find him. And so I hope and pray that God will give you a heart that wants to find him all the time. Let me have your hand. Chase, we pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face shine on you, and that he'll give you peace. That there will come a day that you will realize that you need Jesus, and you'll say, I want Jesus. I want Jesus in my heart. And we pray that you will always chase hard after God. You'll always run wherever God is. You'll want to be with him all the time. Pray that you'll grow to be a great man, a man who loves God, and a man who shows other people how to love God as well. Amen. Cooper, there are these birds that come to my yard. They're called Cooper's Hawks. Do you have hawks? Apparently you do, because they're called Cooper's Hawks. And you know what's amazing about a hawk? They can fly fast. They only need a few flaps, and boom, they're going. But they can see so well. I mean, it's just amazing. There will be a little something on the ground, and they'll come swooping out of the sky, boom, get it, and fly away. They can see really, really well. I want you to always remember that God sees you really, really well. He's always got his eye on you. There's never a time in your life that God doesn't know where you are, who you are, what you're doing. He always sees you, and he always loves you. And so whenever you think of your name, I want you to think of that Cooper Hawk. And I want you to think, he sees me. He sees me. He sees everything about me. Okay? All right. Cooper, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face shine in you and that he'll give you peace. I pray that you too will come to a day of trusting in Jesus as the forgiver of your sin and the leader of your life. That's the only way you're going to know real peace inside. And I pray that you'll always remember that God sees you. You're never lost. He always sees you, and he loves you, and he wants you to love him too. Amen. Ellie, Ellie, Ellie. So I looked up the meaning of your name. It was kind of cool. Now, your name is short for some other names, okay? But I think your name is fully Ellie, right? Yeah. So L, E-L in the Bible stands for God. So part of your name means God. And the other part of your names means God is my light or God is my candle. I love that. God is my candle. So part of what your name means is you are never in the dark. God is always providing you light. And so times that might seem confusing, you're wondering what's going on, you're trying to understand, God gives you all the light you need because he is your candle. So you never have to feel like you're in the dark and all alone, no matter what. God is always with you, and he always wants to light up your life. And I suspect you're going to light up a lot of people's lives as well. Ellie, pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face shine on you, and that he'll give you peace. I pray that your relationship with Jesus will grow really strong, that you'll know that he's the best man you can ever know, even though your dad's a pretty great man, and that you will come to know him and you will love him, that you will know that God is your light and that you're never in the dark, you're never in the alone, and never alone. He always loves you and he always cares for you. Amen. And then there's Georgie. So let me, rather than name meanings, go to a story for you. I hear Georgie, I think gorgeous, all right? I do. And I've gotten to see you a couple times with things that I don't know that you even knew that I was looking or anybody else was looking. But one in particular, I think we were at a day camp meeting, and you were there, and your mom was there. And I think it was Jaren talking, and she's mentioned something about what your mom did. And you were looking at her, and your face just smiled so big, like, that's my mom. Like, she's the most heroic woman that ever walked the face of the earth. It was so amazing to see you just let the inside of you shine out. I got to see it at Green Lake when you'd have those times of just having fun and letting what was inside of you come out and really let the whole world see it. I think a lot of people, when they think of gorgeous, they think about faces, they think about what you see on the outside. God has given you a gorgeous heart. And when you let it out, it's amazing to see. Don't be afraid to let what's inside of you show on your face. Just the more and more comfortable you get, you just let your face shine. Everything that's going on inside of you. You've got a fantastic heart and great love. And when you let it out, oh man, everybody goes, look at that girl. Holy cow. She's just so happy and so full of God's love. So I hope you'll continue to let the real you be seen by everybody around you. Georgie, we pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face shine on you and he'll give you peace. We pray that your relationship with Jesus will grow really strong, that when you think that you can't trust anybody, you'll know you can always trust him. That he's known you since before you were born. He knew everything about you. There were no surprises. He knew, and he loves you. And he loved you enough to bring you into a great family and to give you a fresh start and a new beginning. I pray that that gorgeous heart will shine out on your face all the time. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. And then, you too. We do pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, make his face shine on you and give you peace, lots of peace. Mm-hmm. We are incredibly proud of you. We're just amazed at the way that you have opened your heart and opened your life. And I know that in the years ahead, no doubt there are going to be trials and troubles, as there already have been. But when you have such an openness to Jesus, it's just amazing what he's able and willing to do through you. I love the way you show all of us the love of Christ. It's just incredible, absolutely incredible. One more thing for the four of you, three of you. Oh, you two. This is a hard part, but look at all those people. Even the ones in the back, look at all those people. You know what happened the day you became a Majerus? You also became a Southfielder, all right? This is your family. These are your aunts. These are your uncles. These are your brothers. These are your sisters. Some of them are your grandpas and grandmas. These people love you with their whole heart. Your family just got really, really, really big. You can count on us. You can depend on us. We're there for you all the time, okay? I want you to know that. When you come to church, I hope you'll come running through the doors because you're like, these are my people, and I love being with my people. These people are the best. We love you, right? Yes. Absolutely we do. Absolutely we do. So, thank you so much for doing this. I know it was mild torture sitting up here under the bright lights, but you did a fantastic job. Lord God in heaven, I thank you for families, and I thank you for the way that being part of a family shows us what it means to be your child. Bless this family, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go find fun wherever it is. See you later. Oh. Give these guys a moment to reassemble. So some of you wonder from time to time about a family dedication, how to do one. The simplest thing, if you're interested in doing a dedication, talk to the folks at the Welcome Center, and we'll make sure that that happens for you. I guess, okay, we're waiting for Dana, so I'll say this too. I have an announcement to make. I became a grandpa this week. I'm so excited. His name is Griffey. He's about 3 months old, and he's just cute. I never imagined my first grandchild would be so hairy, but thanks, Brian Rye. I love being a grandpa. All right.
Would you please stand with us as we sing?
That passage in Psalm 139 ends by saying, God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift me through all my anxious cares. See if there is any path of pain I'm walking in. And lead me back to your glorious everlasting ways, the path that brings me back to you. The path that brings us back to God today is communion. Two tables at the front, two at the back, two gluten-free on the side stages. Let's celebrate God's presence with us. You can have a seat, move to communion when ready. Well, clearly you chose a great day to be with us today. That was a lot of fun. Our servers are going to be coming right now and receiving the morning offering. What you don't know sometimes is the ways that I step all over a service order. So communion was supposed to happen like a couple songs ago. Did you see the way everybody adjusted to that so beautifully? Avery's like doing her first time solo act back there today on words. And I'll tell you what, great job, girl. You did it. It's awesome. We've created more than enough confusion for you today, and you handled it very, very well. So a lot of people aren't here today, enjoying that last weekend away before school starts. And you were away last week and actually got to watch us on the stream. So what was that like?
It was very cool. We take an annual retreat with our adult volunteers, along with our student staff, essentially, with student groups to try to just get reset and ready for what we're doing in the fall. And usually we head to a church in Ripon, which is a neighboring town to Green Lake. And this year we were up super late doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And we decided, you know what? I think we'll just watch what's going on in Southfield.
Well, and it was about firelighters, and the firelighters
They were dying.
They couldn't skip.
Yeah, Stephanie Coyne would not let us leave without seeing what the firelighters were all about. So we popped open the laptop, and we all literally crowded around and watched and listened, and it was very, very cool.
That's available live every time, 9:30. You're homesick, kids homesick, or whatever. You can join us that way, and it's a great opportunity. So, student stuff. It sounds like you're like on a little bit of a break before boom.
Yeah. So this past week was really fun in terms of student life. Wednesday night we spent the night with junior hires at Sky Zone. I'm still sore from that, but I doubled down with the lock-in with Refuge two nights ago. I've seen a lot of still like droopy eyes. We're all still a little tired from that. But as Tom Sergis also lovingly told me, his last lock-in, he was 55. So I still have plenty of time to keep these lock-ins going. There's no sympathy at all.
It was honestly, lock-ins were the end of my youth pastoring career. I did two, and after two, I'm like, I need to be a boring senior pastor who goes to bed at 10 o'clock. Yeah. I need that. So
yeah, it was a lot of fun. But with that in mind, I know that I found out at the lock-in that there are still some students who not only need to finish their summer homework, but they need to start it. Seeing as how school starts tomorrow. So we're going to give them the afternoon to get set and ready for the school year. So no Revive today. There will be no Refuge this Wednesday. Once more, as we head into into fall. So we will kick it off, both groups, next week, Sunday night, Revive from 6 to 8, and then Wednesday night, Refuge from 6:30 to 8:30. Look forward to having everybody there.
Good deal. Thanks so much. So when we dedicate four children in the morning, that takes up a little space, so I'm going to talk really, really fast as I possibly can. There is a verse in the Bible that causes me a little bit of confusion. When you see it, you'll wonder why I'm confused, because it's a pretty common verse. Matthew 7:12 says, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up all the law and the prophets." You look at that, you're like, Dennis, is the golden rule. If you as a pastor don't understand the golden rule, I don't know what to do with you. It's not that I don't understand it. It just confuses me sometimes. Now, you need to know, Jesus wasn't the first one that taught the golden rule. There are actually other religions that had a very similar concept. In fact, 100 years before, there's a rabbi named Hillel. And a man comes to him and he says, "I want you to explain to me the entirety of the law, the entirety of the law of Moses, while I stand on one foot. And I want you to give me the whole thing." And so this is what Hillel said. He said, "What is hateful to yourself, do not do to your fellow man. That is the whole Torah, the law. The rest is just commentary. Go and study it." So he says it in the negative, right? If there's something you don't like done to you, why in the world would you do it to someone else? Jesus says, if there's something you like done to you, you should do that to others. And both of them are really going back and quoting Leviticus 19:18 that says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." So why do I find this confusing? Well, there have been times in my life when I try to live out this verse, and maybe the same has been happened for you. There have been times that I'll do something for someone else, and they don't seem to receive it very well. Let me give you an example. In an evaluation, when I'm evaluated, I find more help, honestly, from criticism than compliments. Now, that's not an invitation for you to go home and write a letter or send emails. We're not looking for that today, but compliments, I'm like, yeah, tell me what I need to fix. I have found that when I approach people the same way, when I come to them and say, "You could have done this, you should have fixed this, this should have happened, this would have been better," some of them go, "Thank you," and some of them melt into a pile of mush on the ground. They're looking for praise, they're looking for compliments. Now, here's the thing, in both cases, we need evaluation, but is that the way the evaluation needed to be received? We have a great aunt, she's with the Lord now, died in 2006. Aunt Kate loved receiving cards. That was her way of encouraging her. She was an official card counter. I mean, at Christmas, she'd tell you how many cards she got. Her birthday, 46 cards. I am well loved. Cards mattered. There are people in this room, I know how you are with a card. You open it, and if cash doesn't fall out, it's a waste of paper. It was intended as a vehicle to get you money, you know. Or you'll even look at the back and go, $5.35, my word, you could have just given me the cash. Why'd you write me a card? And so you're like, well, wait a second. I like receiving cards. Why don't they like receiving cards? What's up with that? Or even in the area of care. Let's say you're in the hospital for a week. There are some of you, when you're in the hospital for a week, you want everybody you know to come visit you. I mean, you want a constant stream of visitors. You want the nurses walking in and saying, "There are too many people in here. Please, you've got to leave. You've got to leave." There are others of you that when you're in the hospital, you do not even want to see your spouse. You don't want to see the doctor. You don't want to see anybody. You're like a grizzly that has been wounded, and you're just laying there growling. You're thinking, "I'm sick. I don't want to entertain people. I can't brush my teeth. I haven't taken a shower in days. Please stay away." How do we handle this? What do we do? You see, the bottom line is, I want care, you want care. I want encouragement, you want encouragement. I want evaluation, you want evaluation. But we need to take enough time to look at the other person and ask, how will they receive this? And just because I like it that way doesn't necessarily mean they will. What we've been learning over the past 4 weeks is that people are wired differently. We're all wired differently. That wiring is part of who we are. And sometimes we use that wiring in destructive ways. Sometimes we use that wiring to make life work apart from God. But that wiring, that baggage, can also be turned into luggage. It can be something amazing and beautiful that we take on the journey with us if we lean into it with God instead of using it as a way to try to live life apart from God. We've looked at the city builder. This person who just likes to make things happen. They get it done. We've looked at the whitewasher, the person who loves peace, doesn't want to rock the boat, and doesn't want to talk about hard things necessarily. We've looked at the well digger who just enjoys life, and sometimes that enjoyment leads to addictive behavior. And we looked at the firelighter, this firelighter who just needs to know. They need the information. They just need to know. And in knowing, that's where they find their security. Now, we've looked at each from a redeemed, resourceful place. And as we have, we've looked at how that person deals with life with themselves, how that person deals with life with God. Today, we're going to look at dealing with life with others. And this is probably where most of us have been going, I've been waiting for this. I've been wondering how this works. In fact, as we've been going through this series already, you probably identified yourself, your primary path. And you've identified your spouse, you've identified your kids, you've identified your boss, and what's happened, your natural tendency is to go, now I know why we have trouble. Now I know why we have conflict. Now I know why we bump. Your natural tendency hasn't been to say, that's why we work well together. Your natural tendency has been to say, that's why we have friction. You see, as we look at all four of these, I want you to see the way other people see you. The other three look at a city builder and they see a bully. They see a steamroller. They see someone who's aggressive. And they see someone who more often than not is a loner, but when they need to get a project done, they view people as a resource, and so they use people to get things done. And that's why in a non-redeemed, non-resourceful way, people feel a little bit threatened by a city builder. They look at the whitewasher. The other three look at the whitewasher, and they see someone that's nice, just too nice. Nobody can be that nice, really, honestly. They're kind of Pollyanna, and they have a lot of conflicting connections. What do we mean by that? They are friends with your enemy, and you're going, how does this work? I don't get it. I don't get along with that person. You shouldn't get along with that person, but you get along with that person that I don't get along with. How does that work? And the bottom line is they're great at placating and seeing kind of both sides and making it work along the way. The well digger, the other three, tend to look at the well digger as kind of silly, as the clown of the group. Someone who needs care, especially if they're in the addictive state, more often than not, this is the family member. Everybody's talking about Thanksgiving and saying, what are we going to do about blank? How are we going to help? How can we enter in? And more often than not, they're not taken seriously initially. I've known some well diggers who say something brilliant, and the rest of the group will kind of go, oh, yeah, that was really smart. I didn't expect that. They're not expecting that seriousness from the well digger. The firelighter, how does everybody view a firelighter? They're the joy killers. I mean, firelighters are in HR, okay? They're telling you what you can't do. They're just saying, no, we can't do that. We can't. These are the rules. Rule 27B, did you read the back of the book? You know, they kill the joy. They're foot draggers. When the city builder wants to get a project done, they're the ones saying, but we haven't investigated this, but we haven't looked at that. What about this? Oh, but if we move ahead, there might be a problem. They tend to be pretty heavy-handed. They use knowledge as a way to kind of say, hey, I know this is what we should do. And everybody else goes, oh, what are we going to do? And when they don't get their way, they tend to be pouty and broody. They tend to kind of take their ball and go home. They tend to just pull back. And this is a ploy, right? They pull back because they know. And basically what they're thinking inside is, we'll see how you all do without me. We'll see how you do without my vast knowledge. We'll watch you crash and burn because now you don't have me around to help you. This is how we view each other in a non-resourceful way. Now, continuing with that, if you look at the city builder, the non-resourceful city builder, as they're looking at the other people, the non-resourceful city builder looks at the whitewasher and they actually see an ally. Why? Because a city builder has a little bit of whitewasher in them. A true city builder doesn't like getting bogged down in the details. They like vision. They like the big picture. And they like 30,000 feet. But when they get down to 5 feet, they tend to see the problems. So they zoom back up. So they really enjoy the whitewasher because the whitewasher says, great idea. Let's move forward. I love it. They have a lot of conflict with the firelighter because the firelighter is saying, but what about this? But what about this? You miss this. You miss that. And they like the firelighter at first because the firelighter is bringing some knowledge to the table. But after the while, they're like, all right, stop. I just want to get the project going. And what the city builder will often do they'll replace all the fire lighters on their board or committee with whitewashers. Or in other words, they'll go get a bunch of yes men, yes women, and say, I just want someone who will help me get the project done. City Builder looks at the well digger, and there are one of two things going on. On one hand, they look at them and just kind of funny and harmless. Yeah, let them do their thing. But when they move, when the well digger moves to that addictive side, to that broken side of their well digger, the City Builder sees a project to fix. And they'll look at them and say, here's something I can work with. So you'll see City Builders kind of roll in, and we're going to do this and this. We're going to send you here. I'll pay for it. Boom, boom, boom. They take action. They take charge. They try to get things done. How does the whitewasher work? The whitewasher looks at the City Builder in a non-redeemed way. They look at the City Builder, and they feel very threatened by them. They don't like the aggressiveness of the City Builder. They're looking for a kinder, gentler approach, and they're not crazy about that with that particular person. The whitewasher looks at the well digger, and in them, there's a great symbiotic relationship going here. The well digger has problems going on, and the whitewasher's saying, it'll be okay, it'll be okay, there are no problems, it'll be okay, everything will be all right. The whitewasher struggles greatly with the fire lighter, because they get tired of the fire lighter always bringing up the facts, always saying, what about this, what about that, what about this, what about that? They want it done. They want it over. They just want it done. We come over to the well digger. In the non-redeemed well digger, two things are taking place. One, everything is just about finding the fun in life. Nothing of real depth or seriousness. They're just looking for the fun. But then there's that addictive side as well. That addictive side that just reaches really deep. So when they look at the City Builder, they like the City Builder, at least for a while, because the City Builder is helping them. They like the whitewasher because the whitewasher is saying it'll be okay. They get a little frustrated with the fire lighter. They get a little frustrated with the fire lighter because the fire lighter is pointing out all the things that need to be done. Ironically, when the well digger is looking for help, we're in the broken place. The truly non-redeemed well digger will tend to call the whitewasher first. In our family, Kim is our City Builder, I'm our fire lighter. And we have a fair share of extended family that falls in the broken well digger area. They never call us. They never call us. We find out from the whitewashers what's happening. And they're not going to turn to us. Now, there's something else, though, that's interesting about the well digger with the fire lighter. There's a piece of them that when they look at the fire lighter, they're intrigued by the way a fire lighter thinks. And they kind of wish they were able to think the same way. They like that. They're like, what's that all about? Fire lighter looks at the others in a non-redeemed way, looks at the City Builder and sees someone who wants to get the project done but isn't willing to pay attention to the details. And they get frustrated by that because those details, if we don't do that now, we're going to be dealing with it a year from now. We got to get on top of that. But the City Builder wants to just bulldoze ahead. Fire lighter has tremendous issues, probably the most issues with the whitewasher, because the whitewasher doesn't want to face the truth, and the fire lighter only wants to talk about the truth. If you were to take that verse, speak the truth in love, firelighter is extreme truth, whitewasher is extreme love, and the two need to meet at the middle where they're able to speak truth gently, and that's happening. So the firelighter looks at the well digger, and I think this one's really interesting. When a firelighter looks at a well digger, they think, I wish I could be a little bit more like that. They watch the way that a well digger is able to play. They watch the way the well digger is able to just enjoy the moment, and they're fascinated by that because the firelighter never enjoys the moment. The firelighter walks into the room and goes, oh, that light bulb's burned out. The firelighter is just, they're always seeing everything that needs to be fixed, and they just want once to be like this person who's able to just walk in and enjoy it, just have a good time with it. So that's the non-redeemed. That's where your brain has been. Let's talk about the redeemed, because the reality is, I believe God wants firelighters and well diggers and City Builders and whitewashers in his family. He wired us, but he also redeems us, and is that redeemed function that God is looking for from us. So when we come to the redeemed, resourceful City Builder, they are a dreamer of dreams. They are visionaries. They're people who are able to say, it can be done. I got to admit to you, you know, building this, building that, the fire lighter said, it will never happen. It can, I gave you every possible reason it could never happen. The city builders said, it's God's vision, we're going to pursue it. Guess where we're standing today? Because city builders were willing to say, it's God's vision, we can pursue it. That's what city builders do for us. They have the mind of God when they are redeemed, and they hear the call of God. They're Moses on the mountain saying, we can do this, let's go to the promised land, because they're listening to the voice of God. They encourage the faith community to be bold and courageous. Come on, Whitewasher, you can handle it. It's truth. We're going to go. Come on, Firelighter. I know you don't know everything we need to know, but we know enough. Let's run. Come on, Well Digger. We're going to have a blast doing this together. And so they encourage us to be bold and courageous, to take action, and to pursue God's desires boldly. The redeemed, resourceful Whitewasher is a communicator of tender truths. I love this. This person who was not willing to face the truth, denied the truth, hid from the truth, can become the best truth teller of the community. They can be the person that brings truth in a way that it is actually heard. They not only know what the truth is, but they're sensitive to how the truth feels. This is, you know, a broad statement, but I think it's generally true. City builders and firelighters don't care how the truth feels. Doesn't matter. It's the truth. Just deal with it. Whitewashers know that the truth can hurt, that it can harm, that it can come across hateful, that it can come across in a way that really brings destruction. And so they can feel the truth, not just know the truth. They tell the truth, but they're not willing to weaponize it. They're not going to use it against you. They speak the truth knowing that there will be pain in the message, but not the method. This is a real growth point for the Whitewasher when they can finally realize that sometimes, no matter how I say it, it's still going to hurt. It doesn't matter how I couch it, it's still going to hurt. But the pain is the truth. The pain is not the method that was used to get there. They tell the whole truth, even the final 10%. This is beautiful. When the Whitewasher is truly redeemed, they tell you all of the truth. There was a teacher a few years back, I loved it. He taught this concept of the final 10%, that most people in a conflict will give you 90%. And you ask them, is there anything else? Nope, that's good. But they're holding back this one last big thing, which is then the source of the next conflict. The redeemed Whitewasher says, here's the last part. I'm willing to tell you all. They encourage the faith community to speak the truth and to do it lovingly, to be open and honest, and to pursue God's reality. Remember, the only reality that matters is the reality that God sees. And so let's see it the way God sees it. How about the redeemed, resourceful well digger? They are masters of delight. I love this about them. They have the spiritual gift of having fun. I have a redeemed well digger in my family. His name is Brian. Brian has the spiritual gift of fun. I look at him sometimes in amazement. I'm like, how in the world did he make that into something fun? The firelighter can only see the serious side. They can only see that piece. I love the way we're able to team up at Green Lake, and I'm able to kind of take care of the list and the work and keep all that going. And Brian brings the fun to it. And guess what? It grew to 120, not because of the great work list. It grew to 120 because here's a person who knows how to delight in life and share that delight with others. He knows how to drive a jet ski and, boom, kick you off the back, and you're laughing about it. If I did that, first of all, I'd be reading the rule book about the jet ski, and the rule book says don't go over 12, and I'd be like, we can't do that. Somebody might get hurt, and I'm thinking through all my things about, you need both. You need both together. They know how to deeply enjoy the fullness of God's greatest gifts. We'll enjoy them. The rest of us will enjoy God's gifts some. They take it fully and deeply. They bring joy and lightheartedness to the dailiness of life. Let's face it, sometimes life gets monotonous. We need these people who bring the joy to it. They encourage the faith community to never forget the fun, to enjoy the journey as much as the destination, and to pursue God and drink deeply. How about the redeemed, resourceful firelighter? This is a source of knowledge synthesized into wisdom. They know. They just know. Having said that, They see there is a difference between what they need to know and what needs to be known. There's finally this transition in the redeemed firelighter that they say, here's the information that needs to be known, not the information I need to know in order to control my personal universe. They move in life from what they know to trust the one who needs to be known. There's this beautiful shift in the firelighter that they start to realize, I need to walk in the light of the Lord. It's more about who I know than what I know. It's more about my relationship with God. That's where I'll finally find what I was looking for than in constantly looking to just know more and control my life. They invite us to act on what we know today and trust God for what we cannot know. Again, these are redeemed and resourceful firelighters. They encourage the faith community to think it through, to be prepared, but to welcome surprises and embrace mystery, to walk in the light of the Lord. We need city builders to spur us on to love and good deeds. We need the people who can see a brokenness, see a problem, come to the group and say, we can do something about that. That's what Hebrews 10:24 is all about, spurring us on to love and good deeds. We need whitewashers to open us to tender truth. Again, speaking the truth in love, not just love, not just truth, but the two together. We need well diggers to woo us toward delight. God made all of us to be delighters. And for some of us, we've suppressed our ability to delight. We've suppressed our wiring to delight. And the well digger woos us to delight. They say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. And for the firelighters who like lots of words, we need firelighters to encourage us to know what we need to know and embrace the mystery of the one who wants to be known. I believe the firelighter has the ability to move beyond the facts being shared to the person behind the facts. To say, this is what the facts say, but we trust God. God is our God. Our facts are not our God. God is our God. And for them, Colossians 2, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. Again, relationship. Relationship matters. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. As firelighter sees God's mysterious plan, they go, what? What is it? What is it? It's Christ. We're to come to know him better. In him lie hidden all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down deep in him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. A lot of times, the unredeemed firelighter misses out on thankfulness and gratitude. They're not able to just enjoy the good things that God has done. But when we grow in a redeemed, resourceful way, it all changes. So that thing we thought was baggage, that thing we thought we needed to eradicate about ourselves, didn't need to be removed. It needs to be redeemed. It doesn't need to be something that we get rid of. It needs to be resourceful. Instead, God wants all of us. God wants the city builder who's willing to point the way and say, let's take care of this. God wants the whitewasher who's able to say, here's the truth. Let me tell you in a way that you might actually listen, a way that is kind and gentle. He wants this well digger to teach us to delight. And he loves the fact the firelighter is willing to bring the facts, but is ultimately saying it's not about the facts, it's about the Father, it's about God, it's about Jesus. Let's get to know him better. And so, Father God, I pray that as we enter a new season of ministry together, that you will help us to look at the way that we're wired, to see that wiring, and to see the redeemed, resourceful part of that wiring, and to walk together in such a way that we accomplish great, bold, and beautiful things for you, because we're willing to walk in the light of the Lord. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We will see you next week.